Bible says the message of the cross is
foolishness.
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 Foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Hey, you guys, hope you are all doing well. Welcome to the Foolishness Podcast, episode 94. This is Brian Sumner. Hope life and all that is before you is being walked out with faith in Jesus Christ, because there's many things we can do, many ways we can medicate, many mindsets we can have, but he is the creator of all things made by him, for him, through him. I'm excited for you to hear this episode today. Not that it's new to me, as I've always thought about these things. Even when I came to faith, a lot of the thoughts of the demonic or angelic or the supernatural were thrown around in my mind, because I've been raised in Liverpool, England, where we talked about that a lot. I was fascinated with seeing that in the world, as are most people, the supernatural. And the way this episode came about was I was invited out to a partner church of mine, good friends, Faith Christian Fellowship over on the East Coast. And they'd said, hey, if you want to let any of your local friends' churches know you'll be here, make use of your time. So my friend's church, Pastor Paul Keane, his wife Karen, and their family of the Vineyard Church in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, they said, let's make use of the Saturday night. They rent a movie theater. They have church. With all the COVID stuff going on, they've still been gathering as best they can. So what they thought was, what can we make use of on Saturday night? Is it a men's thing? Is it a couples thing? Because I do a lot of them. Is there a lot of youth? Are they gathering yet? And so Pastor Paul came back and said, Brian, I feel like you should jump into the supernatural. He'd heard a couple of prior episodes with Stephen Van Cars, and he'd been studying this himself a lot. And so what I did was, for a few weeks leading into this, really dug down, really studied, really tried to lay some things out systematically. So to me, offering this wasn't just a night of, you know, sensationalism. Here's the craziness of the world. Jump in, scare a few people, have a heavy time of prayer. The goal was, what does the Bible say about the demonic, the fall, angels, demons, the occult? How are so many Christians distracted today and think it's okay to, if you like, coexist and bring this enlightened version of Jesus into Christianity and into New Age and mix and match whatever we feel? This is not Bible. And as Christians in a time where the world is looking for hope, as yes, they've always been, we should stand on the truth, honor God, speak truth unashamedly, and call things for what they are, not to tear people down, but to tear strongholds down and give people life through the power of Jesus Christ as they hear his gospel. So jump in. This is a decent sized message, and I'm sure I'm going to be doing more of this in the future. It was a blessing to share. It was encouraging. We had about a 40-minute time of prayer and questions afterwards, much of which I cut out of respect for people, and also because I went deeper into other thoughts, sharing personal stories. Maybe we'll do some more of those on the podcast, but share, like, get it out. People need to hear this stuff. Here it is, in Jesus' name.
So I've asked Brian to come and share, you know, and there's a, I don't know how to say this with, I'm just going to say it. How about that? Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm spiritual? Maybe you've said it. I've said it. I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not religious, right? Well, what does spiritual mean? There's 100 different things that we could come up with. And that's what I asked Brian to come to talk about, is when we look at that, when we look at religion and we look at spirituality and we look at the supernatural, and where is the source? What's the source? And so let's pray.
Amen. Yeah.
So Father, I just thank you for Brian. I thank you for his heart, Lord, that as he travels around this planet, just to preach your word, to bring your kingdom, to set captives free, I pray right now that you would move through him, through his heart. The things that you've put on his heart, we just invite your presence right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Give it up, you guys, just for Pastor Paul, the church, the team, everything that everyone is doing. Can you guys hear me okay?
Hello. All right, you guys, here we go. So when we speak about the supernatural, what happens? You either flee from it or you run to it. Christians say, I don't even want to deal with this, or they're all about it. And where should we be? We should be right where the Bible is. Amen. We should look at God's word and say, God, what am I meant to know about the supernatural? Because my flight was changed 3 times. Is that Satan? The kid on the flight that threw up literally as soon as we got on the flight, was that Satan? Or when things fall apart in my marriage, when people come after you, when Satan has fiery darts pursuing you, do we overlook that and not stop and consider? Because I believe that you're going to see today there's some crazy things here that you already know, but you just might not realize. I mean, we all know what it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Amen. Think about this. He starts off by saying, your enemy. Whose enemy? Your enemy. Your enemy, the devil, parades around like what? A roaring lion seeking to devour. So this being that many don't even believe exists is parading around aiming to devour you and me. Satan has no grace or mercy. He hates that we're in a theater. He hates that we're preaching the word of God. He hates your marriages. He hates us because we're made in the image of God. There's Satan, and what do we see? We see even Old Testament in Job 2 and 1. Listen to this. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, back and forth, to and fro on it. They said you should learn something new every day. So if you've never heard this stuff and you came in to see a movie like King Kong or something, can I tell you Satan is parading around like a roaring lion to devour us, and he's roaming around on this earth. Amen. I say this because regardless of where you currently may sit, this is everywhere. If I was to say to you on a scale of 1 to 10, how obsessed with the supernatural would you say America is? What would you say? Right away, 8, 9, 10. If you think about it, just, I'm not talking about third world countries with sacrificing chickens and voodoo and all the rest. I mean right here on the East Coast. I mean in Northern California. I mean, how obsessed with this in our culture are we? If you turn on Netflix tonight, how many supernatural shows are going to show up right away? What are you talking about, Brian? What is it called? The Witcher? Lucifer? Or you remember that movie when we were all teenagers? Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and it was a funny show. She was a blonde girl with her blonde mom, her blonde aunt, and the talking cat. And yeah, she was a witch, but you know what? It's 5 o'clock. I'm waiting for my tea. This is funny. Well, now you watch the new episodes that came out about 2 or 3 years. I watched the trailers, and I couldn't believe how radical it was. You know why? Because whoever produced that, they understand theology. They understand who Satan is. They understand who Baphomet is. And they've got this young girl with all the eyeliner and the makeup and all her friends. And it's very romantic and it pulls them all in. And they're constantly blaspheming God. And I can only imagine that this young generation is wanting to live like this, is considering the occult, are looking at these kind of things. And why is it crazy? Because it's on our 3rd or 4th season. And by now you could be saying, Brian, you're going off with this. I remember before I was a believer, I would go skate the Vans Park in Huntington Beach, and we'd go to Barnes & Noble right after. I'm not a believer yet, and I'm beginning to look at the Bible, read all these books on Christianity, and the aisle right next to it, what is it titled? Religion, Spirituality, the Occult. And I would see people in there every time I went in, sitting there with their Starbucks, just a bunch of kids hanging out. And I remember asking the cashier, do you have a copy of the Satanic Bible? And she says, no. And I said, why not? I'm not kidding. She said, we cannot keep it in stock. They order it and it goes right behind the counter. And she says, rarely will you ever see it on the shelves. I'm talking about some things that sound kind of funny, but think about this. We love the spiritual. We love ancient aliens. We love Harry Potter. I mean, even Star Wars, it was exciting to see, you know, the Force moving. We see all these things and we don't really realize what's happening. We love the idea of meditation or mantras or the casual things. And for me, growing up in Liverpool, England, if you're wondering why I'm speaking in tongues, amen. I was raised on the Beatles. My mother and dad went to see the Beatles. And what did the Beatles bring into culture? You all know this. They brought in this Eastern mysticism. George Harrison, who was singing My Sweet Lord, and he begins to chant, "Wah, Hare Krishna." It's just exploration. Liverpool is very like that. Let me tell you this. I grew up in an eclectic city with so many faiths. I never met one Christian my whole life. I met a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a lot of Muslim friends, but I was very open to New Age. I was very open to the spiritual. Even the music, I don't know if you know this, when they sing it was 20 years ago today that Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play, many believe they're saying Aleister Crowley. Many believe they're talking about occult practices. Jimi Hendrix's wife will say Jimi used to travel around and go to churches trying to get these five demons he claimed pestered him exorcised out. Jim Morrison said the same. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, a genius, he said the same kind of thing. Why am I saying this? I'm trying to get you thinking and say, is it really this crazy? I mean, even Disney, let's just be real. Hey, man, we're in a theater. Mickey Mouse shows up with a hat on like a wizard and begins casting spells, and beautiful music starts playing with teacups and pots and pans. And before you know it, 40 years later, we're so used to witchcraft and hybrid animals and chimeras and all these dark and satanic things. Do I watch that and get freaked out? Not really, but am I aware of what's going on? Am I aware of what is taking place in the world? Why is this? Because if you said, Brian, what do you think we're at? What level do you think we're at? We are for sure past an 8, a 9, and I would even go as far as saying a 10. Even as a skateboarder coming to America, my friends would sit around, you know, 1, 2 in the afternoon, and it'd be too hot to skate, so they'd put on Oprah Winfrey or one of these chat shows, and what would we see? Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, all these new ages with multi-million dollar contracts for books, best-selling stadiums that were sold out. They were the ones that were influencing the influencers. And what was it about? Mantras and chanting and speaking to the what? The universe. You ever thought about that? We all know people who speak to the universe. You ever think about the word universe, what it means? Universe. Single sentence. Bible says in the beginning, God spoke. So God spoke the universe, and Satan is telling people, by your speaking to what's created rather than the creator, things are going to move and happen to you. I know people who show up to church on a Sunday and they're about Jesus, and all weekend their meetings and businesses, they're speaking to the universe. Why? Because of crystals and magic balls and all the things they want. But the Bible says that the universe was spoken by God. I say all this to affirm, yes, the world is fascinated with the supernatural. And I want to unpack more for how I came to know this before I was a believer. And then we're going to unpack some word of God. Amen. You see, for me, being raised in Liverpool, England, 8, 9, 10, for whatever reason, my family, who doesn't believe in God, wouldn't think about going to church. We live 5 doors down from a humongous church. Their friends would bring tarot cards over. They would have tea leaves read. They were just open to the spiritual. And even as Pastor Paul said, you know, we're all spiritual. Yeah, but what kind of spirit is entertaining you? What kind of spirit is ministering to you? And I say that because as I started skateboarding at 12, almost 13, one Sunday night, I had been skating for a few weeks, and my mom goes to this actress's mother's house on the other side of Liverpool. My mom is so, I mean, just like all of you, very calm, just chill woman. They go there, and when she comes back, she said, "You'll never believe what this woman kept saying." She kept reading our palms, and she was messing with the leaves, and she kept saying, "Do you have a son? Do you have a son?" And she kept saying, "I can see your son, and he's dancing, and he's moving along, and he's doing something." And she said, "And I can see your son, and he lives on the west coast of America. Do you have a son who lives there?" Do you know how hard it is to get sponsored and noticed in England? I've been skating for like a week. It would take me 2 or 3 years, but when my mom came home and said, "This woman doesn't even know what skating is, but she's getting pictures of what's happening in your life," what did that cause me to do? It was the first time I'd really seen something this powerful. It was the first time I'd seen something spiritual. And so what did I do, like a good little booktooth English kid? I went and found a movie that was illegal in England, The Exorcist. Remember that movie? It was illegal in England, and my dad had a copy of it. So I'm now, what, 12, 13? I get The Exorcist from his friend from work. I put it on, and there's no music, and it's like the scariest movie ever. Amen? And they have everyone's favorite Hasbro toy. What is it? The Ouija board. I go from tea leaves and palm reading to watching this movie with this demonic being or something called Captain Howdy. I'm fascinated by it. We make a Ouija board. All my friends in school start doing it, and I'm not kidding. I did the Ouija board in the house of my friends, and immediately, and this is how we did it, this is how crazy it is. We took a poster board, and we put paper underneath it, and we drew it on there, because they're not for sale in England, and we put a glass on it. And the second we started using it, it went to this spirit name, Gift Horse Pony X. It started saying my cat was pregnant. My cat was pregnant. We didn't know it had three kittens. It started telling me a child had died in our street and it lived in the living room. And when my mom came home from work and I told her the name, Gift Horse Pony X, she was almost in tears and said, when we got married and moved into this house, I don't know if you knew this, but they used to have these old Ouija boards that were like a block of wood and the glass would go over the top and it was like a clock. You couldn't move it. And she said the name of the spirit back then, Brian had forgotten all about it, was Gift Horse Pony X. He was supposed to be some Native American spirit. I didn't know, but why am I saying this? Because before I was a believer, I was aware of the supernatural. When I was exposed to it even slightly, something that would come through, all these things began to open doors for me. So I can say all of this, and you can leave here tonight, and you can say, never think about it again. Or you can say, is this real? Or you can say, is the Bible a story of a king called Jesus who came to slay a serpent, Satan, to redeem his bride, the church? Amen. Is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation the story of the supernatural? Does it contain the occult, sorcery, all these different kingdoms? Even as Pastor Paul said, Brian's going to share on two kingdoms. Think about it. What is the story of the Bible? Jesus said, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. He said, my kingdom, come. He says, your will be done on earth as it is what? In heaven. So Jesus keeps talking about this coming kingdom. And you say, Brian, you just said so much. Well, let's lay a foundation. I've got a lot of verses I'm just going to go through, so they might be on the screen, hopefully. But just listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, 22. And it's all going to make even more sense now. It says, they brought to Jesus a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, that's Baal, the Lord of the dead, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons. You can totally miss this verse. Here's Jesus doing some crazy stuff 2,000 years ago. This verse just told me they are waiting for a son of David. They are waiting for a Messiah. And apparently when the Messiah shows up, he's going to have the power to cast out demons. What it also tells you is there is a leader of the demons, Beelzebul, whether you say it's Satan, whether you say it's a different entity, and he is a prince. There's an order of the demons. And it says he is the one that drives out demons. They're saying this about Jesus. Jesus doesn't flinch. It says in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, but every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? Listen to this. So then, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons and the kingdom of God has come upon you. He says, if I drive them out by this power. What Jesus is saying is, there's two kingdoms. What Jesus is saying is, yes, there's demons. What Jesus is saying is, I am the coming Messiah. But can I tell you, no one in this passage even flinched? You tell a person on the street today there's demons, they think you are crazy. They want to call an ambulance or get you locked up. Amen? What Jesus is saying is, no. What power are you operating under? Is it the kingdom of God or is it the kingdom of the enemy? If Satan drives out Satan, he says he is divided against himself. And here's the reality. This is how the Bible has to be understood. If I said to you, what is the goal of the Bible? What is the purpose of it? What would you say? Bring the kingdom, right? But think about it. It's the cross. It's the blood. It's redemption. It's forgiveness. All those things are the most important things because Paul said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. But can I tell you something? We need a cross. We need the blood. We need forgiveness. We need all those things. Why? To bring us back to who? God, to Jesus. We need all those things to rescue us from which kingdom? The kingdom of darkness. Am I really saying that on one side is the kingdom of darkness and one side is the kingdom of God? Yes, if you don't believe me, listen to this, Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins, all of us before Christ, amen? All have sinned, the Bible says. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And we normally stop there. Look at what it says, how crazy this is. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the what? The cross. He made a spectacle of the demonic kingdom by going to the cross. Guys, I don't walk around thinking like this. I'm like, God, you're sovereign. God, you're good. God, I know your hand is upon me. We're good. But he's literally telling us right here, when you came to faith, Jesus was defeating the works of the opposing kingdom. I mean, powers and authorities. Listen to this. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the what? Devil's work. Doesn't that just seem crazy? I know we're not meant to talk about Satan and he's just a worm and who cares, but we've got to lay this down and unpack this. I mean, if I was to say to you, who is the God of this age, what would you say? Satan. The Bible teaches Satan is the God of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing. The God of this age. Look at what he's done. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Is there really 3 or 4 verses right there that say when he went to the cross, he overthrew that kingdom and now we can be set free? And that word age, there's 2 different words for age. This is the word aeon. And this is the age for world, for kingdom. We just read in Job how he goes to and fro across the earth. We just read in Peter how he's pursuing you like a roaring lion. So here's the idea. If Jesus' kingdom is to redeem you, then Satan's kingdom is what? To keep people that you know blinded and bound and trapped. And listen, even entertained and fascinated, so long as they don't see the light of the what? Kingdom of God, the gospel. Jesus says what? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give them life, and life what? More abundantly. Listen to what he says in John 8:44 about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him, Satan. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. Listen to this. He is a liar and the father of lies. So if this is true, and every lie comes from Satan, where is the only truth on the whole planet? This is it. You have to get this. This is all the truth there is. Everything else comes from the father of lies. If he is the father of lies, if he is a murderer from the beginning, hey, I'm having thoughts about this, that's the father of lies. Hey, I want to punch this person in the face, don't do it, repent, the father of lies. Hey, I'm going to take this, father of lies. So in a sense, it's all demonic. In a sense, that kingdom is ruling and reigning here. Why? Because if you think about every false religion, this is where it comes from. All these ideas, all these deceptive thoughts, because Jesus tells us that he came into the world to seek and save that which was what? Lost. He told us that no one comes to the Father but through me. So Satan and the fallen entities and all these beings that Pastor Paul has said, Brian, would you unpack? Their goal is to keep everyone deceived. And if I was to say to you today, is there any false religions out there? Can you think of any religions that are thriving in this nation and around the world? What would be some examples you would bring up? A lot of different faiths, right? A lot of craziness. And how do we understand this? I'm going to read a verse, Galatians 1:6. Paul says, I am astonished to believers that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Grace means not a religion. Means it's a relationship, amen? You are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And you've heard this, but he says lower down, even if we, meaning people, or an angel from heaven, someone that has walked with God, preach another gospel than the one we preached, let them be under God's curse. I've talked about the demonic, the fall, and the world, the supernatural. Now we're claiming these 2 kingdoms at work. And when you think about this verse, what is the religion we always think about? Mormonism. We always think about Mormonism. Didn't an angel show up to that guy, Joseph Smith? Well, think about it. Joseph Smith was a young man who in 1826 got arrested for, you know what? Messing around with crystal balls. He would go to people's houses with dowsing rods and all kind of occult spiritual practices, and he would tell them, I can find treasure on your property. He would go to their house with crystal balls, so much so that people filled out forms saying, you can't trust him. And this man eventually, what? Who came to your house telling you he would find treasure, using occult practices, ends up going out in the woods in upstate New York, encountering a what? Angel. How do you find treasure using magic powers? By speaking to someone on the other side. He goes out into the woods, meets an angel who leads into some treasure, some golden plates. The Mormon religion is birthed. And when you drive by the temple today, who is seated on top of the temple? Moroni or Moron I. Amen? Here's the thing, guys. We've got to tear down strongholds. If you're bringing people to church who don't know this, you've got to say we have to tear down strongholds. Why? Because this faith came out of it. And you say, well, Brian, are we meant to speak against it or for it? He said, if even an angel from heaven shows up, they're accursed. Well, how do I trust who that angel is? It doesn't even matter who that angel is, whether it was Satan himself, because a simple test we can do. The Book of Mormon teaches that Jesus and Satan are what? Brothers. Are they? Genesis says in the beginning God created, and he says that the serpent, Satan, was the shrewdest of all the creatures God made. So Satan was created. But Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus, all things are made by him, for him, through him. So you have a created being and Jesus Christ who created everything. They're not brothers. That can't be the same gospel. We're told that Joseph Smith will judge everyone, but the Bible doesn't teach that. You're either dead in sin, you're going to stand before God, and you don't want to be at the great white throne judgment, amen? Or you'll stand before Christ at the Bema seat, and you'll be laid aside all of the rewards that you have, and things will be forgotten. I say all of this because the Bible teaches that we're saved through the grace of God, through faith in him. But what the Mormon Bible teaches is it's through grace and what? Works. I don't need to know who that angel was, because what I need to know is what the Bible teaches and what he says. And I say this because what? Every false religion, every father of lies, he's preaching a different faith. And some of you here, I did this intentionally. You might have heard me talking about some of these demonic things and practices, and you're saying, oh man, I read the horoscopes today, or, you know, I read this star sign. Where do I go with this? There's a statue in my house from my, you know, Wiccan grandmother. What do we do with this? Listen to this. Listen clear, Bible. Deuteronomy 18:9, to Israel, but to us. When you enter the land, Brian, church, we could say, the Lord your God has given you. Do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. This pertains to us. Who practices divination, sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, or who is a medium, means speaking to spirits, consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. So for one, God is saying, this is absolutely clear, these things exist. And for two, he's saying, do not go near them. Sorcery, witchcraft, any kind of depending on the spiritual. Why is it a big deal to be embracing these faiths? Can't we just have Jesus plus all these other faiths? Can't we put the coexist sticker on the car? And I get it. The reason why it sounds nice is because we're all just getting along. But there's a sticker that someone made. You know what it says? Contradict. Because Christ alone, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You can't new age yourself into the kingdom of God. All roads don't lead to God. It's only through Christ. Amen? But what's happening since those old chat shows and all the rest is we're getting more new age. We're getting more open to the crystals and the Reiki masters and even the worshipful masters who now have more of a say in our lives than God's word. Some of you need to hear this. And you say, well, Brian, is it this serious? Well, if we want to continue on, here's what he says in Isaiah 47:12. This is amazing. Listen, these verses were blowing my mind. This is what God's saying if we're into this stuff. Keep on then. Yeah, God really said that. Keep on then with your magic spells and your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you'll succeed, perhaps you'll cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out, meaning it's in vain. Let your astrologers come forward, the stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble, and the fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves for the power of the flame. They are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. That is all they are to you. These you have dealt with and labored with since childhood. All of them go in error. There is not one that can save you. God is saying, if you take every spiritual practice, everything that's a cult, every little thing that you want to add to your life that's well presented, it's on TV, it's all the rest of it. Hey, it's my Wiccan auntie, and it's this person, that person. Oh, it's your mother with tea leaves. God is saying, no, why? Because they can't save you. You don't need all these practices. You need repentance, the Holy Spirit, God's word, and only Jesus Christ himself for what he did when he said it's finished can redeem anyone. Amen? That means millions and millions of people in our nation. And if we love our nation, the freedom we have, I mean, yeah, we'll wear a mask, but we can still reach these people. Amen? They don't know this. They haven't heard this. He says, can they escape the flame? Hosea 4:12, God continues, my people consult a wooden idol. A diviner's rod speaks to them. There's a spirit of prostitution that has led them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. And you might say, well, there's a statue of Buddha. Does it have power in it? No. Some demonic entity doesn't abide in it. But these things being in our lives allow the demonic realm to say, oh, you're this open to this? You'll allow these things to be around your house for decoration or whatever, and are things not going to come, as you'll see in a moment, try and minister to you, try and speak to you? Why does God tell us not to consult with mediums and diviners? Why does God tell us we shouldn't be doing these things? Because for one, he knows they're going to give us an answer, amen? But for two, the answer's not going to come from who? God. You know when my kids pick up the phone and call someone for advice? You know who I want them to call? Me. You know why? Because I love them. I want to give them advice. I might just like pick up the phone and maybe we'll just find some guy who's high as a kite. You know what? Whatever he says, follow him. I want what is best for me and God loves me. Amen? Why am I going to go to some other spirit, some other fallen angel, some other being? Why am I going to go? And you may be sitting here saying, well, Brian, who would really believe this? Is this really what Satan would do? Well, guys, isn't it just the universe and positive energy? I mean, where did this all begin? Who were the first Gnostics or New Agers? Adam and Eve. God preached an amazing sermon. Don't eat this stuff, you guys. It's going to be real bad. You're going to die spiritually. And Satan showed up and said, did God really say? Did he really say do it this way? Or you can do it all these other ways. And he even lied to them and said, in the day you'll eat of this, you'll surely die. God says. But Satan says, no, you'll become like God. All these false religions are preaching other Jesuses, other gospels, other ideas. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses, they view Jesus as Michael the Archangel. Angels can't receive worship. It is blasphemy. When Thomas puts his fingers in Jesus' side, he says, my Lord and my God, my Kurios, my Theos. And what does Jesus say? Blessed are you. That's blasphemy if he's not God. In Revelation, an angel is about to be worshipped, and thankfully the angel picks the guy up and says, do not worship me. It will not be good for both of us. Amen? All the Buddhists, all the Hindus, great people who were loving and kind, but were speaking ourselves to be divine. On the streets of Liverpool, people come up to me and they say, you know, we're divine. Where did you come from? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. You don't sound too divine. Amen? Even my Muslim friends, I have amazing Muslim friends, but what does the faith say? Jesus was only a prophet. Just a prophet. He died on the cross, but you know who else died on the cross? Judas. That's the idea. So you're taking away the sacrifice. You're taking away the bloodshed. You're taking away, listen to me. I want you to get this in the middle of this. I wasn't going to say this, but think about it. Your one sin, of all of us sin, not raising your hand right now, you're sinning. That's a lie, amen. You're going to die because of sin. Thank you. These kids raised up their hands. There we go. Let's preach it. Jesus was sent for your one sin. My one sin, he couldn't overlook it. It was so valuable to redeem you and me that he sent his best. Think about that. Some of you carrying some crazy stuff tonight, what's going on in your life, God gave his best for you. And yet there's all these cults and practices out there who are preaching and proclaiming. And even for the Muslims, my friends, the guys I love go to our church at times. They received this revelation again from an angel in a cave to Muhammad. It's crazy. I say these things, why? Because the way the occult, maybe the younger generation will get this, maybe the way the occult views this is they view Satan as the liberator. They say, well, Satan opened our eyes. Satan illuminated us. We are the illuminated ones. I believe they run many of the things in this world. I believe occult practices are happening. I believe many of these things you're seeing around the world are led straight by Satan. Why? Think about this. When we talk about angels, what do we mean? You know, the word angel isn't a being. Angel's a title. You know, you could say today, well, that's the speaker, that's a title, that's a pastor, that's an evangelist, that's a title. Well, his name's Brian, that's my name, but I'm a human being. Angel is just a title. We don't always know what these beings are. The word angel, angelos in the Greek, just means messenger. It's someone who shows up with a message. Malak in the Hebrew. Why I'm saying this is because we've gotten so focused on angels. But let me ask us this, it'll get fun. If an angel walked in here now, would we know? Maybe. Yes and no. You might know and you might not know. Are they 9 feet? Do they have wings? Do they have fiery swords? Do they have feathers like Big Bird? I mean, if a dude that showed up is 9 feet right now, I'm going to know it's an angel. Amen? But just think about our theology for a moment. I didn't really think about this till we started having these conversations. Listen to what Hebrews says, 13 and 2. Church, do not neglect to show hospitality to who? Just people, to anyone you're going to run into. Why? Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That means some angels, you don't know they're angels. If you're in here as an angel, I wish you would show yourself, but you're probably not going to, unless you're on assignment from God. Amen, we don't need that. But I'm saying this to say why. Because they're going to show themselves with hospitality unawares. So yes, they could be 9 feet. Yes, they could have wings. Yes, they could be glowing, what we see in the Bible. But listen, angels showed up to Abraham. Angels show up to Moses. Angels show up to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people there wanted to be physical with them. I mean, that tells you something about the size of who they are. But then we have this woman in Judges 13:6. She sees an angel, sees a man, and she sees the appearance, and there's something about him. It's like an angel of God. Is he glowing? Is it because he's around the throne of God? Is he one of those, like a cherubim or seraphim who's in the presence of God? He's allowing us to see this. There's some that you can see, you won't know. And there's some that you can see. Why am I saying this? So you can begin to see in this world the way the fallen angels can also operate. Even at Jesus' tomb, who showed up that day? Matthew 28:2. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven. How does he look like? Going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. If that being walked in here, we would see him and know him. There's various angels, I'm saying. There's various messengers. This is important. Because if we're going to talk about the demonic, disembodied spirits, you've got to be aware of how they operate and what they do. I mentioned it a minute ago, but what kind of angels do we know of? Cherubim. In Genesis 3, they kicked out of the garden. There's a cherubim wailing, a fiery sword. We know. We see supposed pictures, big with flamey swords and wings, and they operate kind of overseeing regions. Then we have the seraphim. What do they look like? Some of you have seen images of them. Isaiah 6:1. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So if he's in here, his whole garment, the rear end of the whole train, is just filling the room. And he says, above him were seraphim, and they all had 6 wings. 2 covered their face, 2 covered their feet, and 2 they were flying with, calling out, holy, holy, holy. We see these kind of angels. You're familiar with angels who are archangels. We don't know that Gabriel is, but many refer to him as. Why? Because he shows up to Daniel. He shows up to Mary by name. He shows up to Joseph. He shows up to Zacharias, John's dad. And he will say, I am sent from the throne of God. My name is Gabriel. What's the other archangel's name? Michael. What is Michael? A warrior angel. Gabriel shows up to Daniel, and listen to this verse. I want to read it so you can see what we're dealing with. It says in Daniel 10:13, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Daniel is fasting, and he doesn't know what the Lord's going to do, and the Lord releases a messenger angel. Gabriel is showing up, and this other being intercepts. This other being, the prince of Persia, in the midst of 21 days, begin to fight, and so God releases another angel, and this prince, Michael, shows up and begins to fight. I don't know what's going on, but when I get to heaven, I really want to see what is going on here. Amen? Daniel 10:20, he's leaving. And he tells Daniel, I'm going to return to the fight, and I'll fight against the prince of Persia, but also The prince of Greece will show up. Michael, your prince, will fight against me. Do you realize that I started off talking about the supernatural and these two kingdoms, and we're seeing these angels and beings that are literally at war in this unseen realm for you and me? We see Michael defeating many. We see times in Jude where he's called Michael the Archangel. And I say all of this because even as Pastor Paul said, unpack this, I was just saying, Lord, what can angels do? What can these beings do? Listen to what it says here in Daniel 6:22. God sent his angel to shut the what? The lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. How did Daniel get out of the lion's den? An angel, it's about to tear you to bits, and its mouth is closed. Listen to how crazy this is. Luke 16:22, the poor man died. He died this side of eternity, and it says he was carried by angels to Abraham's side. They showed up physically. They took him, and he went into the supernatural realm and was laid beside Abraham. What does this mean? You might not want to read this verse, 2 Kings 19:35. That night, the angel of the Lord, one angel, went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. One angel. They're this powerful. We see these stories where people are struck down over 90 times. We see Gabriel showing up. Over 280 times, we see angels at work in the Old Testament. And they can destroy cities, kill all kinds of people. But what is the one thing we know about these angels? They're submitted to who? God. God is in control of it, but there's also a side of this. They're in opposition. And we should be saying by now, well, what can angels do? Well, they're all made by God. They can only be in one place at one time. Satan can only be in one place at one time. Wherever he is on the earth today, that's where he is. And they're not all powerful. And what I want to say to us is, here's the important thing we get. Satan fell, and we see this in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. They all fall. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament how you never hear about demons in the beginning books? You ever notice that? You never hear about demons, and people say, where are the demons in the Old Testament? So you've got cherubim, seraphim. We've got these angelic beings. Some of them glow, some of them don't. And then suddenly you get to Genesis 6, a really crazy verse. Most of you might just go right by it. I love this stuff. Genesis 6, what does it say? 6:1. We're going to do it right here in the theater before the flood comes. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of humans, that they were beautiful, and they married any they chose. So women, however they were looking, the sons of God in heaven said, they look beautiful, they look pretty, and they go down and marry them, and then it gets really crazy. Verse 4, the Nephilim, or the Nephil, the giants, many would interpret this to be giants, were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, the men of renown. Many read this, and many theologians aim to make sure this verse does not mean what I really believe it means. They want to say these were just men who were tough, who were legendary, like a Hercules or one of these guys that fought the Titans. This is all they were. But when you read this verse in Genesis 6, it says the Nephilim were what? Giants. And if you know anything about the Bible, you should let the Bible interpret the what? Bible. The only other time this word is ever used, you know when it is? It's when the 10 spies, along with Caleb and Joshua, go out to the promised land to spy it out. And in Numbers 13:33, you know what it says? We were like what to them? Grasshoppers. How can I be a grasshopper to someone unless they were what? Some of you are saying, wait, a giant in the Bible? Who did David kill? Goliath. Who were his brothers? The Raphaim. We see this throughout the pages, the Anakim. And what I'm saying is, what many Hebrew scholars, guy Dr. Michael Heiser, get his book, read his book, fascinated. He says, what we believe today, and most pastors won't even talk about it, is the sons of God came down, they impregnated women, the Nephilim were on the earth, and when those beings were killed, died, whatever, the spirits that were left, that's where demons come from. They're the disembodied spirits that roam the earth, along with fallen angels, along with Satan, along with all the rest, and their agenda is what? To take control, to hold fast. Why? Because we begin to see these demons at work. We begin to see Israel begin to worship them. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrificed unto devils and demons. This is the Shadim, the demons. Not to gods. To gods whom they never knew. To new gods that came up, who your fathers feared not. Psalm 106:37. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to who? Devils. This is demons. Did you see what was going on in this verse? This is going to blow some of your mind right now. I might challenge your theology. It says they sacrificed to demons or devils. But it also said they sacrificed to who? Gods. When I say Elohim, who do you think of? Only God, right? When you read the Hebrew, there's 5 or 6 other times where other beings who are not God are called Elohim. When Samuel the prophet shows up, the woman at the seance says, I see Elohim. In this verse, when it says they sacrifice to other gods, it's this word Elohim. To a Jew, only Yahweh is the creator God. Only Yehovah. Amen? But he made all these other beings. That's why he says in Exodus, don't worship other Elohim. That's why we have these verses. Listen to this. Psalm 82:1. God has taken his place in the heavens, in the divine council, in the midst of Elohim. He holds judgment. Why is this important again? I keep saying that. Because in my life, I'm going to deal with fallen angels. There's a demonic realm. And these Elohim, whatever they are, yes, they're angels in some sense. But there's many things they can do that you're about to see. And this is why it works and why we need to understand this. Who was speaking to me through the Ouija board? One of these demons, one of these beings. Who is the father of all lies? Satan. And who is bringing these things to come to pass? One of these beings. Why is this going on? Why do we see this? And what do you do if these beings begin to show up in your life? Listen to what Deuteronomy says. We just read this, 18:10. It shall not be found among you anyone who practices what? Divination, who is a medium, who consults the dead. If an angel shows up right now, I should be asking, why are you here and were you sent by God? I shouldn't be fascinated that there's an angel. I mean, it would blow our minds, amen? Better than any movie we could have rented and all the popcorn out there. But the idea is, I should be asking the same way I shouldn't aim to contact them. They shouldn't have transgressed God's law and be aiming to contact me. Mormonism came about because a man and a fallen being transgressed God's law. Jehovah's Witnesses came about, or the faiths came about. If I said this is the only truth, this is why God says this. Why did God send Israel out to wipe out so many nations and tribes at the time? Because there was giants living among them. Most people will see this in Scripture unless we reject it. I say all of this, why? Because we look at angels sometimes as we're the ones who command them. We don't command angels. You will see every psychic on television, a lot of people in heavily Pentecostal churches. I love my Pentecostal brothers and sisters. You want to speak in tongues, you want to do whatever. I want you to worship God. I can worship God with you with a seatbelt on, amen? I'm going to make sure it's the Lord. We're going to see interpretation. We're going to believe that if prophecy's there, it's going to be a firm one of trying to do this stuff. We're going to do it right. But so often today, especially with these new moves, what we want more to happen even tonight is that an angel shows up and something crazy happens so you feel closer to God. Why do I need an angel when I have who? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, guys, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Next thing he did was he took off into heaven. How does that make sense? Because he sent who? Holy Spirit. Guys, if Jesus showed up right now and said, we're all going to Afghanistan in the middle of a war and we're going to preach the gospel, how many of you guys would all go with him right now? Right? But Jesus said, it's better that I leave. It's because if I go with Jesus, he's going with me. He's nowhere else. But if the Holy Spirit goes with us all, he's everywhere we go. Amen? I say that because what has crept into the church is a fascination with the divine and all these beings. And you will never see an angel responding to the command of someone. Daniel prayed to God and God decided to send an angel. Amen. Even Jesus, when he was sitting there in the wilderness, Matthew 26:53, do you think I cannot appeal to my Father? He's perfectly aligned with the Father's will and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels. I love when God moves in these ways. Don't get me wrong, but there's so many dangerous moves at the moment that are going untested, and here's why. Some of you are thinking, this has been in my house. I've thought about this. This person spoke this over me. What can an angel do to me? Guys, I had a great sleep on the flight. Amen. When I go to sleep tonight at Pastor Paul's house, if I wake up in the night with the cat that they have and there's a demon, Satan, whatever being at the bottom of my bed, it's going to be crazy. But really, I don't care. Why? Because when the 70 went out, what did they say? They said, even the demons are what? Subject to us. Amen. Preach it. No matter what is going on in that realm, if someone is trying to force me to do this or do that, put assignments on my life, there's nothing that can separate me from the blood of Christ. Amen. If I get home tonight and suddenly Satan's in my room, there's a reason God's allowing it. I need to stand on the promises of God. Paul, of all the theologians we see in Scripture in Romans 8:38, listen to this. Some of you who are obsessed with this stuff, and that's fine to an extent. You have to sit on Scripture. Why am I sharing so much Scripture? I could talk so much nonsense about my life and all the rest of it, but when you get into the fight, it is really not going to help. Amen? We can laugh and have fun, and like all the other motivational speakers out there, I can entertain your socks off, but you know what? I'm going to go home empty, and you will have wasted your afternoon. You could have just sat out there with God's word. Hallelujah. Romans 8:38. I am convinced neither death nor life. We all like that part. Neither angels nor demons. Whoa, Paul. Nor principalities or powers. Look at this, and one translation says, even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. We have complete authority. Whatever happens in your life, God is allowing it. Acts 1:8, we love this verse. You will receive power. Oh Lord, I want the Holy Spirit of power. What? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses unto me. You will be martyrs. We always say we're waiting on the Holy Spirit, guys. We're not. He's waiting on us. He showed up 2,000 years ago. Amen. I want to be led by the Spirit. Well, Jesus was led by the Spirit. You know where? Into the wilderness to be challenged by Satan. Whatever is going on in your life, if you are in Christ, you are sealed. Your sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation. Romans 8:1. And whatever demonic force comes against you, God will work it out for your good. Amen. It might be bumpy. It might be shaky. I mean, Peter got out the boat and stepped into the storm. But who controls the storm? Who rules hell? God. Satan doesn't rule hell. He's going to belong there. God rules hell. There's nothing that will separate, but here's what we have to understand. This is important. There are things that can take place in our life, assignments of the enemy. Here's what I mean. This might get a little bit crazy, then we'll pray in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, really practical. The Apostle Paul simply says to the church in Thessalonica, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. Again and again I wanted to come to you. But Satan blocked our way. What did he do? We don't know. Did he whisper something to someone? Did he raise up a leader? Did he call the church to flood and Pastor Paul couldn't get his car out the parking lot? I mean, what was taking place? We don't know, but God allowed this. Think about this verse, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. But then get serious about it. Listen to what he says. Is it not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness? Meaning false prophets, where do they hang out? Around the sheep. They come as prophets. False teachers, false leaders, all these people. Did someone try and say something to Paul? Say something to someone that was taking him? We don't know. Satan will use man if he can. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 11. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunnings, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion. And he goes on and says something crazy. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different what? Spirit. From the spirit you received or a different gospel, you will put up with it easily. As I said earlier, oh, we're all spiritual. What spirit is leading you? What spirit is in certain churches? Where do the wolves hang out? Around the sheep. You feed the sheep, amen? You starve the goats, and you shoot the wolves. That's how we talk in church, amen? A pastor's responsibility is to protect you from all these things. Also, and this pertains to a friend of mine, there's going to be seasons where we're tempted. There's going to be seasons where you face hard things. Book of Genesis says, sin is crouching. I don't know what my flesh wants to do. Wretched man that I am, Paul says. But listen to Thessalonians 3:5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. I have a friend of mine, a worship leader, an amazing skateboarder, Josh Harmony. He'll be fine when we share in this. We talked about it. And he had a career change. And so suddenly his income was different. He had three boys. His family life was different. And he was a just raised in the church, fired up man of God, some of the best music I've ever heard in my life, gifted, talented, loves the Lord. And he suddenly has a change of income, moves to Minnesota, gets a job in a liquor store, begins playing music with a couple different people. And one of the girls in that band loved horoscopes and loved the occult. And she just began asking him, hey, why don't you bring some beers? Hey, why don't we just sit around after band? And why don't we just talk about some of this stuff? And he began to open this door. And in that season of hardship and resenting God and getting mad and wondering about where his life was, he began to get frustrated and distance himself from God. He was hiding in the bushes like Adam did in the garden. Amen? And what happened was he distanced himself from church, from believers. I believe he was sealed with the Holy Spirit. And a friend of mine from New Zealand, Melody, called me. I'm praying and the Lord told me, Josh needs to come to New Zealand. Josh, you know he's going through a battle right now. Yeah, do you have his number? She calls him. And Josh says, you know, it's not a good time for me. I'm going through this crazy season. I don't know what's going on. The Lord told me you need to come. There's a festival. I want you to skate with some of the boys. I want you to play some music. Hey, I'm only coming because we're friends. So he flies over there. He's there for a week. He's feeling bad. Like, here I am playing music. Here I am talking about my faith. And I'm totally struggling with this, struggling with that. All because of drinking a bit too much, opening up these horoscopes. The lady's name at the time, Colleen, don't know who she is, but she was a friend of his. Now he's in New Zealand. He's eating in a restaurant one night. And this woman comes in who's friends of Melody. She's in her 60s, and her name's Colleen. And she said, what do you know about horoscopes? And his face drops, and he begins to shake. He says, I want to pray for you in the car. He comes into the car. Her name's Colleen, like the other woman, and she begins to pray over him, attacking what the enemy has sought to do, tearing down every stronghold, and within a minute or so, all those chains are broken and he's set free. Amen? He's in Christ. He's covered by the blood. But he was giving himself over, like he just said in Thessalonians, the tempter has come and was tempting you. We know he can do it physically. And I'm saying all this, and I'll summarize the few verses in a minute. Just think about this. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat? Satan has gone to God and said, I'm going to sift you as wheat. Do we even know what he did? We don't know what he did. But Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I'm praying for you. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. We don't know what he did, but what we know is that the verse tells us that Satan left him. I'm waiting for an opportune time. That means in my life, preaching right now, I'm holier than thou, and tomorrow I'm going to share a church up the road. But I have to know I have an adversary, Satan, who hates me, my marriage, my family, and you. I have to not make an opportune time. Amen? Sin is crouching. I have to be aware of the occult practices and all these different things. Why? Because I'm covered by the blood. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And what was it in Peter that happened? Did Satan whisper to him? Did he raise up a leader? I mean, how did he even enter into Judas? What does that mean? There's a lot of things God didn't tell us about this, but we need to know, because some of you are going to maybe ask questions in a little bit. Is this right or wrong, guys? I don't like gray areas in my life. I don't want things that could leave open doors. I know I'm sealed, but if my buddy Josh, who loves the Lord, can struggle for 8 months, I don't want to see any of you going astray on our watch. Amen? I say all this because where do we end with some of these thoughts? I mean, even Peter just was in opposition of Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? Get behind me, what? Satan. Just by living in opposition. Here's what we've got to understand. You're either a believer in Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and there's some things he's going to warn you about. Or you're someone that's still dead in sin, and you don't know the Lord, and you came in here tonight, and the Lord's going to deal with you. This whole idea that someone sells their soul to Satan, that does not exist. It doesn't exist because you weren't God's to begin with when you were born. He made us in his image, Imago Dei. We were born onto this planet. We were birthed through our mother, but we're born in a fallen state. John 3:18 says we're already condemned. Every person that's alive has sinned, has lied, has blasphemed God, so we're already dead. You can do all the occult practices, all the rituals, sacrifice all the chickens, whatever you want to do. You don't sell your soul to Satan. That's a lie. We are already dead in sin. What can happen for you, though, is you're forgiven your sins and you're born again and you come to life in Christ. Amen? I was living my life as you read, and what you didn't see on that video was I came to America, made great money, lived for me, married a woman, had a son, and was divorced and suicidal. tried to disprove all these different faiths, came to faith at 24, witnessed to my ex-wife, who came to faith within a few months, and we were remarried in 6 months. Amen. My son's 20, going to be 21, getting married in 2 weeks. My daughter Eden is 13. She's sending me photos of a kitten she just bought today. Amen. And my son Jude is 10. I say all of that because I am sealed no matter what the enemy throws, all the fiery darts showing up in my room tonight. Whatever. If he does it, I'll send you the video. Amen. I am confident in the work of God. Don't obsess over it too much, but be aware. But for believers, here's what he tells us. I'm going to read two verses, then we're going to pray. Ephesians 2:1, if you don't know Jesus, you were dead in your sins and transgressions in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's Satan. This is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Everyone that doesn't know God, apparently, right here, they're already walking with Satan. He says, but all of us also lived among them at one time, and we gratified the cravings of our flesh and followed its desires and thoughts. Look at what it says in verse 5. We have been made alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I love this verse. This is for you and me if we're a believer. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If you are in him, it's not a special incantation. It isn't this, it isn't that. You are in Christ. There's going to be emotional struggles. There's going to be spiritual struggles. There's going to be chemical struggles. But if you are in Jesus, you need to walk in the peace of God. Amen? There's two kinds of peace in Scripture. There's peace with God. I've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. There's peace. But there's the peace of God. I have to walk in that. I'm a child of God, hearing worship in Pastor Paul's house, hearing you sing, standing here. Lord, I have peace in you regardless. Peace isn't because your life's perfect. Peace is because your life is crazy and you know who Christ is. Amen? For the Christian, here's what he says. Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against who? Everyone we just talked about, the rulers and the authorities, the powers of this dark world, crazy, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If you want to go crazy and talk Bohemian Grove, Illuminati, the occult, all the rest of it, all these things in some form exist in the world. They're all looking up to someone. They're all worshiping someone. The all-seeing eye, the capstone of the pyramid. When I go to a skate park, the number one thing I will use to witness to kids, I'll talk about all the occult that they see in Hollywood, all the craziness they see in songs all day. But here's what he tells us to do. Look at this. Therefore, church, Brian, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, Satan's going to try and do a work. You may be able to stand your ground, the ground given by God. And after you've done everything to stand, here's the things he gives us, the weapons. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Do you know who the Son of God is? Do you know he died and resurrected for you? That's the truth. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, do you know that you are not righteous enough to get to heaven? There's only one who is good enough. His name's Jesus. And when we are forgiven, his righteousness is placed on you. God doesn't see your lie, your lust. God sees his son, Jesus. Verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Do you guys need some peace tonight? You have it in Christ Jesus. Trust him. In addition, it gets good. 16. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We have to step into faith. Faith is a belief, but it's also a gift. Do I believe? I'm not all naming and claim it, but guys, there's things you need to name and claim. Amen? You are a son or daughter of God. It is finished. It has been paid. You are set apart by him. Your father loves you. And he says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Why am I sharing so much scripture? So it can just sit and you can drive home with your wife and say, man, when he said this, what do you think about that? Or tomorrow God can prick your mind with the Spirit and say, go read that verse because he's going to unlock something for you. Amen. The Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And I'm closing with this verse, Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I just want to ask you where you are. Guys, I come from England where Charles Darwin is on our money. I was raised believing we just evolved and we were evolved apes. And you know what? Nothing really matters. Who cares who's president? Who cares if this theater does flood? Who cares all the stuff I just said? I didn't know that God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. But now that I know him, here's what I do know. God's sovereign. And he knows exactly who is in here. I only know a handful of you, and maybe you strolled in here today, and the Bible says today's the day of salvation, that you are a breath away from heaven or hell. Do you know the Lord? If we drop dead tonight, do you go to heaven with him because of the work he did on the cross, which you've just heard preached, or do we go to a place called hell separated from him? The prophet Isaiah said, the word of the Lord goes out and never returns void. Are you hearing the Lord speak? Are you hearing his spirit say, I died for you, I rose again, you can be forgiven? Maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I've tangled with too much of this or too much of that. Nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Maybe you're second guessing your faith and you're saying, but what about this? Or I've depended upon that. Nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I prayed a prayer in 2004 and God saved me radically. And he will do that for you. I don't save you. The pastors don't save you. It's the Holy Spirit himself. I love asking people, do you feel that breeze of the wind? And when people acknowledge it, that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. He ministers to your heart, you sin. He ministers to your heart, I love you, I sent my son. And he ministers to you that call to put your faith and trust in him. So I want to be really bold today and challenge us all for something more important than anything else in life. Is there anyone here with every head bowed and eye closed who today need to say, I want to leave this place knowing that God has spoken to me and I want the promise of his son who lived, died, and rose again, forgiveness of my sins? If you're here today and God put this whole thing together just for you, it is more than enough because his grace and mercy is new every day. If that's you and you want to say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need to let go of some things. Would you just raise your hands right where you are right now? 1, 2, 3. Raise up your hands. Amen. Amen. 3 or 4 people. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer. And then in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to allow some time of ministry. But it isn't this prayer that saves you. It isn't these words. What it is that God in heaven has spoken to your spirit. And he showed you the state you're in. And that he sent his son. And I believe God can do a work here today in your heart. And as you've heard his voice and said, man, I need that forgiveness. I need that. That is the evidence the Holy Spirit's at work. So church, could you just pray along with me this prayer to God through the Son? Let's say, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge your life and your death. You rose again. You're alive today, and I trust you. God, would you forgive me all my sins and lead me in Jesus' name? Church, listen to me. Greatest day of your life is when you came to faith. So many people challenge altar calls. Why? Because this is a moment of touch through the Lord. If he is speaking to you, get into the Bible like a magazine you would to hear about God. Get into church to fellowship the way you would at a skate park or a restaurant or your work. Get into prayer with him. The Bible sadly teaches that only 1 in 4 people who say they confess finish good. Why? Because their hearts were never touched. It was an emotional moment. We prayed this prayer today, and 4 or 5 of you that raised their hands, we want to pray with you again in a moment. But I want to challenge us all. Let's just stand to our feet if we can. You know, guys, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And we don't just want to be watching what's happening. We want to be part of it. I don't know what you have lived through. I don't know what your childhood was like, what your life was like, what's been spoken over you, what you believe about yourself. It's all through the power of the blood of Jesus. That word faith and saved and set apart, sozo, it means restored. I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know what you could have got caught up with. The things the enemy constantly says to you. But the reason people are down here is because we want to pray. We want to engage heaven for you. God, we thank you for this time, for this moment, for who you are, and that Jesus, you are alive today. And we love the fact that the Bible says you are seated in heaven. You don't even need to stand today. You are so powerful. The Bible says at the end of time that the angels are all rejoicing around the throne, and that Jesus, when he returns, will cast Satan into the pit with the false prophet. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those who might be sitting here and they've had occult backgrounds. They've had occult practices. They might even want to intercede for other people. Church, just begin to pray where you are. Begin to pray for people. Begin to pray for others. God, we pray for this region. We pray for this location. We pray for this town. God, we pray for the assignments over people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We lift you up, God. We exalt you. God, we thank you for the work you're doing. For those who raise their hands, who knew today, God, that they're here intentionally. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah.
Well, guys, hope that was encouraging to you. It was amazing to prep and plan and to go over there and share. I literally flew out on a Friday night, late night, 11:59 from LAX, landed early morning in Boston, and by what, 6 o'clock was at the theater, preached that night, slept, preached the next morning at Faith Christian Church locally right there in Seekonk, and then left by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, was back in Cali. Within just 2 days, we got a load of stuff done. And I say this because God is so good and faithful, but also because many of you choose to partner with me personally, the ministry I'm doing. There's so many things coming up, Virginia Beach, possibly Mexico, some of the things going on in Europe. So be praying for me. Thank you that you believe and trust in the work I'm doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for all of you. And remember, the message of the cross is foolishness. Those that are perishing, but to us, you and me, it is the power of God unto salvation. God bless you all. For more about me, BrianSumner.net. In Jesus' name, amen.